This is an Equity Bates Media podcast.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Have a listen to this. Have a listen to this.
Now, that kind of talk this week dragged Australia's share market to
this
a two-year low.
There are, of course, complex reasons for that.
He was the big spender. Right. The big spender.
Doing the grocery shopping can take a huge chunk out of the family budget.
And that's finance.
Hello and welcome to Comedian versus Economist. We demystify the world of money and help you get a handle on the bigger picture. My name's Adam and we're joined as always by my little older brother and real life economist, Thomas. Hi, Thomas.
G'day, Adam. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Look, welcome to you out there. If you're joining us for the first time, maybe you're back for more. Hopefully maybe a friend sent you. That's what we're asking for. And it's the end of the financial year, so I promise this is the last one we're going to do. But if you could please tell one person about CVE, that would help us out enormously. We'd really appreciate it. So, spread the word. Of course, big show coming up, Thomas, so let's get into it. Pub workers like tips. Well, here's a tip. You might be getting a pay rise if you're a hotel worker. So that's nice. Thomas, Ray Dalio put out a piece this week saying that stagflation is the cost of fighting inflation. Who is he and is he just checking if anybody is listening to his words because they make no sense to me? I'm going to get you to explain that one. And how much would you pay for a buffet with Buffett? You can pay for lunch with Wozza, but it'll cost a mozza. Stick around to find out what you'd be looking at paying if you want to have lunch with the great man. But first, if you've ever wanted to own your own slice of heaven, you might be in luck. New Zealand's house prices are in freefall. Thomas, what does that mean for New Zealand?
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe free fall is overselling it. I know you're the hype guy, but
that's what I do.
they're down 4% now in the month of May. So that's a pretty chunky fall in a single month. Down the median price nationally is down to 840,000, which is a pretty massive number for a national median. But that's down 85 grand from where it was in November 2021 at the peak. So median house price was 925,000. So they're down 9.2%.
That still seems high. What's the Australian median house price?
I think it's probably closer to 700.
Right.
I couldn't tell you exactly, but that's my... I can tell you exactly. It's, 752,000, eh? Holding numbers in my head like a boss.
So they're higher than us, like quite considerably. Yeah. Their median house prices, we can't offer views of Mordor, I suppose. That's always a seller.
I don't know what the difference is there. I mean, no, I couldn't tell you why. I mean, it is pretty expensive. And I mean, Bloomberg Economics had a report during the week saying that New Zealand's housing market was the most at risk of a crash of any market in the world. They're saying that it's the most disconnected from fundamentals, particularly when you look at rents. So if you think about like housing as an asset class, you've got the price of the house plus the return on the house. The return is the same as rent. So you can those two should move pretty closely, but they're saying New Zealand has disconnected and that makes New Zealand the most risky market in the world, according to those guys.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's with RBN, the Reserve Bank of New Zealand's, their cash rate's up to 2% now. So they hit the floor with us and the rest of the world, but they've come back pretty aggressively since then. And they're now at 2%. We're at 0.85%. So they're leading us. They're ahead of us in a few. And this is sort of a feature through the pandemic as well, that their property market really launched ahead of Australia. And we sort of caught up, you know, we followed their lead, but New Zealand was leading the way and now they're leading the way down, I think. So, yeah, and the cash rate's up to 2%. The RBNZ reckons it's going to go towards 4% by the end of September 2023. So that's a pretty big increase from there as well. And that's,
so is New Zealand the canary in the coal mine for us? Like, are they like, because I remember when inflation kicked off in New Zealand and the RBA in Australia was still like, nah, 2024, we've told you, shut up. Yeah. There won't be any won't be any rates or inflation until 2024.
Doesn't that coal look more and more stupid as the days go on?
So if their house prices are falling, you know, by these kinds of rates, then is that what we're looking at?
I think you'd have to say so. I mean, Australia had its first fall in May nationally. The median was down 0.1%. And then that said, there's a bit of variation across the cities. So Sydney's down 1%, was down 1% in the month. So that's a decent fall. Melbourne down 0.7%, but that's offset by, you know, Adelaide's up 1.8%, doing well there. No idea why he wants to live there.
Oh, man. I saw an article today about this apartment it was for rent in Adelaide. And like, because they're talking about rentals are just like crazy. And someone had just converted like a single room and like a lounge room. It's got a fireplace in it. And they just put a shower in the corner. With like some like perspex around the, like people are roasting it on Twitter, just calling it like a perspex shitting cube right next to where you cook your breakfast. They wanted $400 a week for it somewhere in North Adelaide. So yeah, people do want to live here, Thomas, and they're prepared to cook food next to someone taking a dump if that's what gets them into a house in Adelaide. That's where we're at.
Yeah, so nationally we're down. Like, I think we're turning the corner. We're at the peak. We're on the way down from here. You'd have to think that, yeah, we're following New Zealand. I mean, and that's largely about rates, but it's also there's a bit of a credit squeeze going on. So the banks are now getting much tighter with their loan applications and going over the numbers much more closely than they were. A lot of banks are now no longer accepting overtime or bonuses as in your serviceability calculation.
Oh, so I thought you meant you couldn't pay your way into a mortgage anymore. Just slip your broker a bit of overtime.
Overtime, yeah.
Right.
Thanks for putting in the hard yards. So they're cracking down on the serviceability. Rate cities are sort of a mob here. They reckon that with the recent rate hikes and the rate hikes that are coming, plus the sort of the crunching of credit, that's going to reduce borrowing capacity by about 18%.
Right.
For your average household. So, like, kind of one for one, if that were true, you'd think that should sort of translate into an 18% fall in house prices. Given that it's the capacity to borrow that really determines where house prices are at. But that would still have us pretty well up about, you know, probably 10% on where we were pre-COVID, even with 18%. So, yeah, it's a sort of up and down market. I mean, we've had these big swings in the share market. The property market has been influenced by the same factors that drove the share price boom and bust. It's just a much slower, stodgier asset class. But I think we're going to see some of that panic play out. And I think, yeah, as you're saying, New Zealand's leading the way. They're showing us where we're going. But I think Australia's on their heels.
And we mentioned the RBA. So are they worried about falling house prices? Do they care? Do they know that it's happening? Are they still targeting 2025 for the house pricing to come off?
Yeah, no, they said they don't expect house prices to fall until 2024 at the earliest.
You can take that to the bank.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's not something they target. And in the past, people have said, you know, you're blowing bubbles by cutting rates and house prices are going through the roof, and the RBA has effectively said, well, that's not our problem. We're not trying to do anything one way or the other with house prices. It's just we've got to set interest rates for the for the broader economy, and we can't help it if that then creates a boom in asset in house prices.
That's the Bart Simpson defense, isn't it? I'm just going to do this. I'm just going to wave my arms. If you get in the way, it's your own fault.
They haven't really they don't try to comment on it. It's probably I think that would probably be, it would probably be more comfortable for them from a financial stability perspective if house prices were a little lower, if debt to income ratios were a little lower. They'd be happy, but I don't think that it's not central to their thinking, I don't think, or it tends not to be.
Right, well, there you go. If you were hoping that maybe the house price drop in New Zealand was over, well, don't dream it's over. Thomas, good news this week for hotel workers. Some of them are going to be getting a pay rise.
Yeah, probably all of them eventually. But, yeah, we got the news this week that Endeavour Group, yeah, used to be part of the Woolworths empire but got demerged last year. Yeah, they're the biggest pub owner in the country. So they run 340 hotels and clubs around the country, as well as Dan Murphy's and BWS chains, which I didn't realise they were owned by the same characters, but there you go. Yeah, so they're giving everyone a pay rise, or everyone on award. So they employ 28,000 people across the country. 15,000 of them are on awards, and they're going to fast track the award increases that we covered last week with the Fair Work Commission. They're going to fast track that, and July 1, it kicks off. Everyone gets a pay increase. So the interesting thing is that the hospitality industry was granted an exemption until October 1 because they're saying that hospitality had been hit so hard by COVID and all of that, and a lot of businesses were struggling that the Fair Work Commission said, okay, well, hospitality workers, you just got to cool your heels for a little bit. We're just going to give your businesses time to adjust to this.
Oh, right. I thought this was the – when you said, like, give them a break, I thought you were talking about the workers who'd been hit hard by COVID and they'd been not
and
working.
Not having
and
jobs.
Not having jobs and missed out on money. But so we're going to – right, but no, we've said we're going to park the pay rise till October for you guys to protect the businesses.
This is how the world works.
I guess they did get JobKeeper, but, I mean, you could argue that – they shouldn't have been worse off, but I know for a fact that a lot of them were. So
yeah, I mean, hospitality's had a rough trot, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Endeavour's saying they're not going to wait, they're not going to take that exemption. They're going to offer pay rises immediately, effectively. Right. And they're trying to hire staff, and they're saying they've got a bit of a staff shortage, so they're looking to hire 800 people effective immediately. Yeah, and they're hoping that by offering these pay increases straight away that they might be able to get more staff on board.
Right. So so there's obviously a lot of demand then. The demand's come back for hotels, for pubs, for alcohol. So. Never went away. It peaked during COVID, didn't it? Like
alcohol in general.
Hospitals and hospitals and bottle-os, I think, was the order of the day during COVID.
Yeah.
So is this a good, like, is this a bullish sign for Endeavour then as a group?
Well, Endeavour's trying to paint it as one, to saying like we're in such a strong position and demand so hot that we need to hire lots of people and we've got the cash to be able to throw out these pay rises, so we're doing pretty well. That's the spin that the chief executive Steve Donohue was putting on it. I mean, the thing for me is like, you're meeting a staff shortage. Like we talked about, for most of that 15,000 people on awards, they're either on the minimum award, they're getting 5.2%, or they're just getting a flat $40 increase per week. Remember we talked about that in the I read some article which it just interviewed a random bar girl, and she says, I think this will help with the staff shortage. I definitely think it will help getting more people into hospo.
I think that's Hospo.
Yep. Yeah. But it's like, I don't know, it's $40. And like, I don't know, I don't want to seem out of touch, but like if someone's going, do you want to come work in my bar? It's like, nah, I'll give you another $40. It's like, oh, all right. You know, like, is it really going to help the staff shortage?
Yeah. Lettuce is $12, by the way.
Yeah. Might get me a lettuce.
Get like a quarter of a lettuce. I mean, no.
four lettuces. Anyway.
Yeah, and as we're saying.
So like you're saying it's not enough? Is that what you...
Equity Mates guys were asking this question the other day. Like, what happens to the real bottom rung of the jobs ladder? Like your Uber Eats delivery drivers and the people working the gig economy stuff, or like working in a bar. You know, you can go out and get a solid job that's paying a lot more because it's a really competitive jobs market.
Mm.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting for those industries that rely on that bottom rung of the skills ladder, which is what the minimum wage, you know, effectively covers. I think they're going to find it tough to compete. And I don't know that $40 a week is enough of an incentive, like, unless someone's really committed to the bar work lifestyle, and maybe, you know, there's something to that. I'm sure it's, some people seem to really enjoy it, but there's going to be good gigs out there, and firms are going to have to compete not just on wages but also on conditions and, you know, late night working, you know, suits some people, it's not going to suit everyone. Yes, I think, I don't know. I think we were not going to hear the end of this, and I don't think getting out and sort of fast-tracking 5.2%, and as we're saying, that's only just keeping pace with inflation that we've seen already, not with the inflation we know is already in the pipeline. So it's sort of effectively real wages for pub workers are going backwards. Like, that's not a recipe for attracting more people into the industry.
Mm. Yeah, interesting. Oh, well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see what happens. But it's better than nothing, I think. That's some, you know.
Well, yeah, I guess you could, yeah, just say that's better than nothing.
Class half full, Thomas. That's what we're about. All right, why don't we stop there? We'll grab a quick word from this week's sponsor. After the break, we're going to be talking about the big guns of economics, Ray Dalio and Warren Buffett. Stick around, more comedian versus economist right after this.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome back here on Comedian versus Economist. You can send us an email if you like, cve@equitymates.com, or on the website equitymates.com/CVE. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at CVE Podcast. Thomas, Instagram is going off its nut after we made the call out to get over 1,000 followers. I don't know what the next level up from viral is, but it's beyond viral. It's
pandemic.
It's become its own internet. It's become sentient, self-aware. So don't miss out. Go and find us at CVE Podcast. Have a conversation with our Instagram account. Anyway, Thomas, Ray Dalio, what's he on about these days?
You don't even know who he is. All right.
Of course I do. Big Ray. Yeah. Big D.
Yeah. So Ray Dalio is from Bridgewater Associates. He's one of the wealthiest hedge fund managers in the world. He's moving into his sort of grey beard phase of life, where he's writing a lot more about the world and philosophy and how politics should be ordered and things like this. And it's great. It's really, I got a lot of time for the stuff he writes. And it's very interesting. But so he wrote an article on LinkedIn saying, titled "Reducing Inflation Will Come at a Great Cost: Stagflation." There's the flations that you got a bit confused with in the intro. So
love a bit of flation. So just a quick recap, what's stagflation?
So stagflation is when you get a stagnating economy, potentially a recession, and inflation at the same time.
Right. So no growth and inflation.
And inflation, yeah, yeah.
Okay. And we know what inflation is.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's just saying having no growth and inflation is the way to fight inflation?
I think that's what he's saying, that he's a bit frustrated with that people seem to don't understand this point. He says, I now hear it commonly. such as you.
Has he heard himself speak? try working on your phrasing, Ray. Just maybe leave some of the flation out of it and just sort of bring it back to basics.
The more I think about this, the more I think he's just talking directly to you. Shout out to Ray if you're listening. I'm working on him. We're getting there.
And he's lucky I'm listening. Like, I wouldn't normally be. If I wasn't talking to you, I wouldn't be listening. Yeah. And most people aren't. And most people, I think it's fair to say, most people would hear a statement like stagflation is the only way to fight inflation, just go boring, Stranger Things, Netflix, let's go.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's not. So. Yeah, it's not a really clickbaity kind of heading that he's gone for there.
Yeah, what he needs is, I can't believe they need this to fight inflation.
Yeah, that's right.
Ooh, what is it?
Yeah. The key thing that he's frustrated with is he's hearing people say that you need to raise rates to fight inflation, and then once they get inflation under control, everything's going to be sweet. And the mistake he sees people making is they think there's a direct transmission line from interest rates to inflation.
Right.
That you can just, the interest rates directly affect inflation. And what he's saying is that that's not how the economic machine works. The way the economic machine works is that you raise interest rates, that crunches spending and people's ability to spend, that drives the economy down. And as the economy falls, as growth slows, that cools inflation.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, but isn't that predicated on inflation being caused by more money in the system? So
yeah,
like
yeah.
you're trying to stop people having so much disposable income or whatever, so you raise rates to try and take some of that away. But
yeah.
from what I understand, isn't mainly inflation at the moment, it's all supply constraint, isn't it? Or a largely supply constraint issue.
It is, yeah.
Aren't you kind of just whacking people over the head by driving up rates when you're trying to get them when you know the prices are going up as well because things aren't available?
Yeah, yeah, that is true. The point he makes is that inflation happens when there's a mismatch between what people want and are able to spend and what's available. But so there's more money chasing a fewer amount of goods.
Right.
So if you've got a supply shock that's reduced the number of goods in your system, in your economy, then reduce the amount of stuff for sale. If you give demand enough of a whack, you can bring it back into line with supply more or less. And that, yeah, is a point. Like it can't deal directly with supply inflation, but you can sort of bring those back into line a bit. Yeah, by whacking them on the head, it's not perfect. It's why stagflation, when you get inflation, it's why inflation coming from cost push supply shock factors is very tricky to deal with.
Right. So, what's he suggesting then? Does he give a solution, or is he just kind of going, look, this is what it is. Just got to ride this out.
Yeah, that's the point. The point I think he's making is that, it's not just you can't – people say – he says that people are talking about the Fed raising rates as a low-cost option. It's just like they raise rates, that'll directly affect inflation, and then we're sorted. And he's saying like, no, the transmission mechanism is through slower growth. So we're going to lower growth in this process. You need to be aware of that's the risk. Like people don't seem to be clocking this, that the through the path to lower inflation is through lowering growth. And that gets us to this idea of a soft and hard landing. So Jerome Powell from the Fed was talking about this, and this is sort of the phrase that you keep hearing in the financial press at the moment is, are we going to get a soft landing? Are we going to get a hard landing? A soft landing, which is what we're aiming for, is when we slow growth enough to start lowering inflation, but without dropping us below stall speed and crashing the economy.
Right.
That's the ideal. That's what Jerome Powell's aiming for. He's saying, I want a soft landing. I want to raise rates to slow growth enough that it starts to take the heat out of inflation, but without dropping under stall speed and crashing the economy.
Right. Because I hear that everywhere. I hear that we're trying to navigate a soft landing. And I'm like, I don't know what we're trying to land. Doesn't feel like we're flying at the moment. Feels like everything's pretty bad. So the fact that we're talking about a landing is... right. So the alternative then is a hard landing, which presumably is recession.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That we slow growth, they raise rates too hard, we slow growth too fast, the economy tanks, and we end up in recession. We lower inflation, right, which we're trying to do, but we go too hard on growth and we crash the economy into inflation. And that's sort of what, yeah, that's
does that bring inflation down though?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You get inflation down in both scenarios. You land the plane, you're back on.
Yeah. It's just whether everybody dies or not.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what we're talking about with that. Mm. Yeah, soft and hard landing, and that's what sort of the people are like. A lot of the criticism of the Fed is that, like, because we had this seesaw in rates, that rates tanked really quickly and then they jacked up really quickly. That it's really hard to engineer a soft landing when you know the pilot's just jerking the levers around like that.
Thank God you said levers. You wonder what else he's up to up there. That's why they call it the cockpit. Thomas, they say there's no such thing as a free lunch. Definitely not the case when you're lunching with Warren Buffett. What's going on there?
Yeah, so there's a bit of a famous thing. So you can buy lunch with Warren Buffett. It goes up on an eBay auction.
Mm.
You can bid to have lunch with Warren Buffett and seven of your friends.
And seven friends?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. Really? You know how many friends I'm bringing in that scenario?
How many?
Zero. I'm not risking.
Intimate dinner with Warren.
Yeah. If I'm paying $19 million, I want me and Buffett one-on-one, mano in mano. We're going to talk shop. We're going to get to the nitty. I'm not risking $19 million to sit there politely while some freeloader who just came in with me on my ticket chews Warren's ear off about the footy or something. I'm like, who do you reckon is going to win this weekend? I'm like, I paid $19 million for this. I want his undivided attention for $19 million. So yeah, that's the first problem with your with the story. But anyway, go on.
Yeah. So it's for charity. It's for the Glide Foundation, which supports homelessness in San Francisco. Apparently it's a charity that his late wife introduced him to.
Right.
Yeah, and he's been doing it for a while. But yeah, so big, yeah, as you're saying, a big number this year, $19 million.
Crazy.
Yeah, a crazy amount. Like, so the last bid, it was on pause for a couple of years through COVID, but the last time they did it, it was $4.6 million cryptocurrency entrepreneur Justin Sun, which, you know, like I look at those numbers and think like, yep, $4.6 million, that's a sign that cryptocurrency is in a bubble. $19 million, that's also a sign that we're in a bubble.
Who was it? Do we know?
It's anonymous.
Anonymous. So it could be any. Could be a crypto millionaire, although less likely these days with a crypto crash.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I can't believe Reddit didn't get involved in this. You know, like Reddit's good at like getting together to sort of, like, couldn't they have all piled in and like got on board just to pay for like one dude from the Reddit forum, like Wall Street Bets, like Admirable Wallaby 685 to go and sit down with Warren Buffett? yeah, right.
Yeah.
$19 million, though. That's a lot. Where are they going? Do you know where they're going?
The Smith and Walensky Steakhouse in New York.
Steakhouse?
Yeah.
You got lunch with the richest man in the world and you're going to a steakhouse.
Yeah.
You want to be some good steak. You want to hope it's not. I went to a pub the other night and they had this like cook your own steak. It came out on a stone grill, like a heated stone grill.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't want to be, you know, you don't want to be cooking your own steak when you're paying $19 million for dinner, that's for sure. I wonder if you have to tip.
10%.
10%. did I read too? This is the last time he's doing it. This
is
it. So we can't rally around now and
No, I can't. Yeah, he's done. He's kicking towards 90 now. So he's like, hasn't got much left in him.
Pretty hard to justify $19 million for Meals on Wheels. All right, that's enough from the world of rich white men. Thank you once again for joining us, as always, here on Comedian versus Economist. We do very much appreciate it. Don't forget to tell a friend, or you can send us an email, cve@equitymates.com, or on the website, equitymates.com/CVE, and on Facebook and Instagram at CVE Podcast. Don't forget to check out all the other great podcasts from Equity Mates Media. Get Started Investing, Equity Mates Investing Podcast, You're in Good Company, Talk Money to Me, Crypto Curious, and The Dive, featuring none other than you, Thomas, last week. What were you talking about on The Dive?
Yeah, we're talking about the global tax floor proposal from the OECD. Where that's at.
Very interesting. Would definitely suggest you check out that episode as well as all the others on The Dive each week. Thank you again for joining us. We look forward to your company again next time. That's all for us. Bye for now.
Comedian vs. Economist is a product of Equity Mates Media. All information in this podcast is for education and entertainment purposes only. It is not intended as a substitute for professional finance, legal, or tax advice. The hosts of Comedian vs. Economist are not financial professionals and are not aware of your personal financial circumstances. Before making any financial decisions, you should read the product disclosure statement and, if necessary, consult a licensed financial professional. Do not take financial advice from a podcast. For more information, head to the disclaimer page on the Equity Mates website, where you can find ASIC resources and find a registered financial professional near you. In the spirit of reconciliation, Equity Mates Media and the hosts of Comedian vs. Economist acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea, and community. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people today.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.